Welcome back to the Weekly Manga Podcast. This is the podcast where we talk about all of your favorite ongoing Japanese manga. This week, Chojin X slows down and has a discussion for its climax. Yotsuba meets a very important teacher, and Kagurabachi potentially gives us a female deuteragonist. All that manga news and more coming right up. Hello again, my name is Bruce. I am the proprietor of the White Gray Black YouTube channel. This week I am joined again by my constant co-host, Gautam.
Hello, hello.
A special shout out and thanks to our Patreon subscribers, Yaji Black. If you want to have your name read top of the episode, see some bonus content, get in on discussions and all that, check out patreon.com/WGBmanga. It is only $3. I will apologize now for the stuffy nose I have. You might hear me blow my nose. I'll try to mute for that. But let's jump right into Chojin X, Gautam. This is one that I've kept up with. You haven't read much of this, have you, if any at all?
I think like the first chapter. But okay. Last we talked about it, though, they were all congregating to go fight this bad guy. And yeah, okay. Everyone's like, we're going to fucking die.
Yes.
Except to one guy who's like, let's not think like that. Let's give it a crack. So That's the last we spoke about it. What happened since then?
We're on the other side of that. I assume that they were going to fight. This character's name is Sora, the sort of hand with eyes.
Okay.
They're talking to here. Let's see. This up here at the top left. And they sort of ascend the tower. The last couple of months of chapters have been ascending the tower. There've been some cool fights. Some people have died. Some people have made it through. This to me feels like this is the climax of the series potentially. Or sort of like initial climax, like a first climax followed up by a second one after some stuff happens. But, this series is really good. I really cannot suggest this enough. I think especially everything I've heard about this compared to Tokyo Ghoul, right, which is Sui Ishida's first work, is that this is just kind of better in general, like a more mature, more thoughtful story, which I completely agree with. Like, this is a super character focused, interesting story, so I like it a lot.
Okay, so let me get my questions out of the way, so I don't derail this chapter. One is the guy on the right an Illuminati, because he looks like Illuminati.
No, I'll try to. Okay, let me see if I can sum up the history of this world in as briefly as I can, which I don't even know if I can because it's been a while since I've read all the history stuff. The eyeball hand person's name is Sora. They are Chojin X, the Chojin X currently. They like fought off a war a bunch of years ago and ascended, and being Chojin X means you have all of these crazy, weird, like future sight powers and all these other powers. And the group who most of our characters are part of is called Yamato Mori, who we learn, I guess, in this chapter, or maybe it was the last chapter. It was the last chapter, but we learned in the last chapter that Yamato Mori was founded by Sora like years and years ago to sort of like be protectors. They're fighting now. Basically, they think, oh, Sora has gone insane. They have too much power. We have to take them down or else they're going to cause a calamity. And Sora is preaching like, no, the calamity's coming. I'm going to be the one to save it. But they all think that they're crazy. And there's part of this plot is that there are certain Chojin that were created using Sora's like DNA genes or something. And that if Sora dies, all of those Chojin will die. And that includes, the main character, the vulture Chojin guy, Tokiyami.
And is this Sora's goons down here?
This is all Yamato Mori. So they've sort of fought their way to the top of the tower. These are all Yamato Mori guys. They brought like an army. This is smarter than most shonen action things, because instead of like, I will go alone, it's like, no, they literally brought a fucking army go against. Like, they brought every single person in their organization. They brought every Chojin, every power user they have. Everybody's there because, and we'll see as we kind of go through the chapter that this is a lot of this chapter is kind of the leader being like, what do I do? Because basically the very end of last chapter, the MC here is basically like, he's been potentially chosen to inherit Chojin X, someone who like shares the genes with Sora has to inherit Chojin X to sort of like stave off the calamity in the future. That's kind of the high level background plot. And so he comes for, he, at the end of the last chapter, he's sort of like, hold on, like, I want to talk first. He was like, I'll take Chojin X, but I want to talk first. And everyone's like, whoa, what? Like, we came here to fight. Which is a cool conceit, really, in the story, in that, you know, there's always kind of talk no jutsu stuff, but this feels a little different, as like, they literally, like, Yamato Mori has lost, like, hundreds of people. We've lost, Chojin have died. They fought their way to get up here. And then suddenly the main character's like, hold on, let me talk to him first.
Yeah. And is like, is the arm his? Like the arm Sora's, like the one with the this eyeball,
is, the foreshadow. Let me see if I can show you. That is what the character looks like. Like, yeah, this is what Chojin X.
It's just two hands.
It's two hands, the eyeballs in the middle. Yeah, it's freaky shit. It gets even freakier to keep going, but yeah. So
the main character turn into two hands like that?
I don't know. Well, some more visual changes happen to Sora at the end of the chapter, so maybe. Okay. I don't know. It's kind of implied that a lot of these Chojin powers kind of change the way that you look and impact your physical body. There's one guy who has sort of like stolen a bunch of Chojin powers, and he looks like a weird, fucked up, like he has scars and like eyeballs all over him and wears a mask and stuff. So
that sucks.
Yeah. So he ends this last chapter saying like, I will take Chojin X, which is kind of not what they came here to do. Right. They came here to kill Sora and, you know, stave off the calamity. No one's taking Chojin X. They're going to, I don't know what they're going to do with it. I don't know if they had plans, but he's like, okay, I'll take it. And then he says here, he's like, kind of over here on this middle panel, right? It's like, according to Master Mato, who's on the good guy's side, quote unquote, good guy's side, the calamity Zora talks about won't happen. And according to Zora, the calamity will happen and the one with the mark will stop it. If we believe Master Mato's predictions, the calamity isn't going to happen, which means taking the mark won't cause any issues. If we believe Zora and prepare for the calamity, I need to take the mark, which means I should take the mark. Like, he's being very pragmatic here, which is cool. Again, great sort of characters in here. Everyone kind of pushbacks. They're like, wait a minute, if you take it, we don't know. And so Zora here is like, do you truly mean it? He's like, apparently, yeah, this is where they mention, you know, like, apparently if Zora dies, we all die too. So you could have mentioned that last time. And then a lot of this, so this is the leader of Yamato Mori, this guy in the mask here, Sandek is his name. A lot of the rest of this chapter is him sort of like having a moral inner catastrophe of like, yeah, sort of like, okay, if he takes it, less people die, but so many people have already died. Is it worth it? Am I just seeking revenge? Like, he goes through like,
okay,
a
so he has like a nuanced thought process on this. Okay.
Yeah. So it's like the comrades we lost while trying to take the Tower of Mourning, considering their sacrifice, they aren't the only victims. We've lost so many lives. Like, how many people died? Like based on Master Mato's predictions, blah, blah, blah. He's like, what's the point of this fight? Was it just to defeat Zora? I wanted peace. What's the point of the sacrifices? Were they inevitable? Who would make all, like, would this make all those we lost in turn in their graves? Like, if we don't just defeat Zora here, because that's what they gave their lives for. It's like, is there any way to mourn the dead but to kill Zora? Like, are we just taking revenge? So he has this cool, like, a very, again, like, Sui Ishida's this internal character kind of competition, where internal character strife, where they fight with themselves. Like, I think every time they do this, it's like awesome. Like, and so this is a really cool, and the paneling, again, the art here is awesome. Are we only allowing ourselves to be held back by regret? Blah, blah, blah. He talks about like not being able to save his brother, who kind of turned to be a bad guy. Tokyo here, is trying to choose the path I couldn't. Instead of accepting the prophecies at face value, he's displaying strength in his own way in order to forge a new future. And he's Sandek's debating, like, what path should I choose? And he kind of pushes back against him. He's like, I can't give you permission to inherit their mark. He's like, not here. He's like, if Sora agrees to come with us, we should ask our future sight person if this is okay. Like, we, you know, they think in the future this will be okay, but let's ask our future sight person just to see. And they're like,
it's like Sora, like, chill with like giving the mark up, or they haven't even.
Yes. This is something that Sora wants. Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, Sora wants to give the markup to a worthy successor because they're like old and fucked up, as you can see.
Okay.
And they need someone who sort of like can hold it for a long time and fight off the calamity, which I think is like going to take years, or is super powerful, and they need somebody else to take it. I don't know the exact reason, but Sora's been sort of searching for this.
Okay.
And so we get a little flashback here. This is what Sora looks like when she beat kind of when she like had her ascension to Chojin X and beat back this stuff and all that. So, yeah, her name technically is Sora.
It's Sora. A girl.
It is a girl, okay. Technically. Yeah, this is her over here too.
Okay, got it.
But she like was Chojin X and has been for like 80 years or 65 years or something like that, and has turned her into this like fucked up thing. So, yeah, it's like she kind of, we have a flashback of her telling is like, what if a big threat appears and you aren't around? He's like, it's like, don't worry. Like when evil is born, a hero will rise. The world has a curious way of going through cycles. And she says, you know, Tokyo Kurahara is the main character who's offering to take Chojin X. He's like, whether you have the suitable gravitas required to become my successor is something even I doubt. And she sort of transforms back into a fucked up old lady, but less fucked up than the hands with eyes.
Yeah.
She's like, I'm not opposed to entrusting the task with you. In fact, that may be exactly why someone like you would make the most suitable successor. He's like, will you take me there to Yamato Mori? And they sort of reach out for each other. And then the chapter ends and someone has attacked Sora, the most powerful being in the world, and like cut her arm off. So
got it. And that's, oh, and her that's legs the end of the chapter. Are the hand from Elden Ring.
That, it's just that weird, like Eldritch weird body horror stuff. Like
that's sick. It looks cool.
Yeah, the visual design and stuff is very cool in this. But this is like, to me, this was very much like a climax. Like Tokyo says he's going to take it. Like that's kind of what the whole, you know, back half of this series has been. And then they do this kind of, you know, Takto Jutsu stuff. They're going through it. It's like, okay, let's do it, but let's do it on, you know, our grounds. Everyone agrees to it, and then it's like, nope, somebody's coming here and fucked it up at the end. Somebody's cut her arm off. I don't know. We don't know who this is. I have some theories, but
got it. Well, to be fair, nobody agreed. Only the these two agreed, I guess.
Yeah.
So Sora means like sky, and this guy's like the vulture power. Do the other like inheritors of the mark also, are they bird related?
No. So the other, I'm trying to think, there's two other people who are theorized that I think can and might take Chojin X. One of them is the girl in black hair that you see a lot. This is her over here. She has like a power that steals other people's powers. I cannot remember her name to save the life of me. And the other guy is the dude who has like the steel creation bending powers, who was at the very start of the story. If you read chapter one, him and Tokyo were like the best friends. They both get Chojin powers. His is like a steel, like he like creates steel armor and like makes motorcycles and knights. It's very cool. All the powers of this are really awesome.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah, all three of those. There's lots of predictions about one of them will be Chojin X and it will be bad. And so, yeah, I don't know if Tokyo ends up being, you know, actually succeeding Chojin X here or not, or what happens here, or who stepped in. I don't know. So,
yeah, maybe this ends like Tokyo Ghoul, though, like where you just turn into a big monster.
I would not doubt it. I don't know how Tokyo Ghoul ends, but I haven't read it. But
spoilers for Tokyo Ghoul, actually. I'm
like 15 years old. I don't know.
Yeah.
I should read it. But I tried to read it. It was, I struggled with it because it was the action paneling, even in this, in Chojin X, I think has a little bit of trouble following it. And there was just a lot more action in Tokyo Ghoul. So
Tokyo Ghoul's awesome. I think like once you get to a certain point, you won't want to drop it, but
I
agree. I mean, it's kind of hard to get to that point.
That's definitely how I kind of feel about Chojin X, where I was like, okay, I'm kind of interested. The action stuff is a little hard to follow. And then you reach a certain point and you're like, wait a minute, this is like some of the best character writing I've ever like read. Like yeah. It's so good.
Tsuyoshi Desu is great at this.
He's like just an amazing writer. Yeah. And the art and the design and stuff is exceptional. Yeah. So yeah, totally. So, I mean, yeah, Chojin X, I'm excited. I don't think it's going to go on for too much longer after this. My prediction is that we get sort of a battle here. Someone succeeds Chojin X, and then there's kind of like a second final battle between Chojin X and the good guys, or Kurahara and Chojin X, if it happens like that. So I think that's where we're heading.
Is the foresight just like this, like a mystery evil calamity? Is it just themselves that they're foreseeing?
Yeah,
is that like the twist, you think?
Probably. I don't, it has not truly been explained to us, or at least if it has, I don't remember it clearly.
I have to think that would make like the most sense if you're approaching your conclusion, because anything else would be unsatisfying without like setup, right?
Yeah, the calamity they're talking about is self-perpetuated in some way from Sora, I would assume. I think that would be cool.
That would be a cool plot beat, I think.
Yeah, or it definitely could be something where it's like, you know, Kurahara ascends to Chojin X. He is the calamity, and he chooses to end himself. And that, you know, he saves. So he is the calamity, but he stops the calamity. Something like that, right? Maybe not exactly that, but
like Chojin X itself is the calamity.
So yeah, he exactly.
Kills himself or something. Yeah,
which has kind of been implied that like when Sora first kind of had her war all those years ago, Chojin X just like there were some Chojin, and then Chojin X showed up and just like atomic bomb, like wiped the floor with everybody. And they were like, oh, okay. like absolute annihilation, like killed millions of people. So,
oh
yeah. So it's literally like a weapon of mass destruction type shit. Whereas like Kurohara could turn into a bird and fight people. And like the couple of chapters before this, like the Chojin X fights off like one person who tries to kill her, and Chojin have this thing they can do called raising, where if they like take fatal wounds, they just like say raise and like rebirths them. And every Chojin can do this like a certain number of times. But she just like cuts this guy in half, and he's like, I can't raise. What did you do? And she's just like, Chojin X, bitch. Like, come at me.
Yeah. I have hacks.
Yeah. Like literally. Yeah. Like every hack's imaginable. So. Yeah, super interesting series. I really think you should check it out. I think you would like it. Maybe on your...
I think I would too. It seems cool.
You're traveling soon. Maybe this is what you should read on the plane. So.
Oh, true, true. Yeah, that's a good call. I'll be bored as hell on the plane, so that's a good... I'll probably check this out.
Yeah, do it. It'll be a cool one. All right, let's go to slightly less fucked up stuff. Gautam, tell me about Yotsubato. This is chapter 114. It's by Azuma Kiyohiko.
What do you think these two's relationship is?
I'm fairly sure that's Yotsuba on the right there.
Yeah, that's Yotsuba on the right.
The guy on the left is not her... Is it her adoptive dad or uncle who takes care of her? I don't remember.
It's not her dad.
Okay, but
it's her dad's friend.
Okay, I was going to say, I know that guy's not her caretaker, but...
It's her mortal enemy. Yotsuba hates him more than anything in the world.
Why does Yotsuba hate him that much?
He teases her. He's just kind of an annoying guy to her. He's like one of the funniest characters. Like intentionally messes with her and riles her up. They have like a big brother little sister relationship. But
gotcha. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, he's like the joke, quote unquote, villain of the series.
Okay, I see.
This is a big chapter. So Yotsuba is. I love Yotsuba because she is like the most realistic little kid in any manga, where like little kids in manga are like either way too well adjusted or like a psychopath or like a child prodigy. Like
they're written like tiny adults or like complete idiots.
Yeah, tiny adults. Exactly. Yeah. Right. Yotsuba's written like a kid. So she's pestering her dad. I love the faces. Yeah. Asking like, what kind of bird is that? What kind of tree is that? And he has like no idea. And she's like extra curious because she's about to start pre-K.
Oh, yeah.
Her and her dad are walking around. I like this panel. And she's like, rhinoceros beetles are so cool looking. You're pretty cool looking too, dad. And the dad is like, really, I look cool, huh? And like gets that smug satisfaction you get when your child compliments you.
Yeah, for sure.
Then they meet up with her friends, and these are Yotsuba's best friends. They're already in school, so they're a little older than her. Enna and Miura. And Miura can't do something called a horizontal bar. I don't know, a back hip circle.
I had no idea what this is. Even after they do it, I'm like, are they just going over the bar? I don't know.
I don't quite know either. Yeah. I don't know gymnastics very well, but I like the... It's like every adult kind of... Mira is like is more mature for her age than, or acts more mature for her age. So every adult kind of dunks on her.
Okay, this is like, this is what Google is telling me a back hip circle is, which is literally, you like up over the bar and then go around. You just like go around the bar, I guess.
If you're showing it, I don't, can you pull it on the screen?
Am I showing the wrong? I'm showing my wrong screen. Hold on. Or change screen two. This is apparently what it is. You just like go over the, or maybe backwards. Yeah, they're going backwards over the bar. Like
this middle stance is confusing to me. Where you're like,
yeah,
vertical.
I don't know. Because I think it's who knows?
It sounds hard. Okay. Anyway, she can't do it. The dad's like, I can do it. She's like, okay, great. Basically that. They're describing teachers to Yotsuba, who hasn't gone to school yet. And they're like talking about how teachers will get mad at you if you do something wrong.
Yeah.
And she's like, are teachers the enemy? then they mosey on over to school. And Yotsuba instantly forgets the plot and wants to play. And Mira's like, hey, pay attention. We're going to practice the circle half bar or whatever it's called.
Yeah.
I love this panel because she's like, Oh, because you don't know how to do it, poor thing.
I don't need your pity.
Calling someone poor thing is just hilarious to me.
It's great.
And then they're like, oh, is that a teacher over there where they're going to practice? And they see this like girl over here near the bars. And we had Tokyo last chapter. We have Osaka this chapter. I know you don't read Yotsuba, and I don't think you've seen Azumanga, right? Like his previous Azumanga work?
No. I'm familiar with it, but I haven't read it or seen it.
Yeah. For anyone who hasn't read it or seen it, it's basically a legendary manga that's inspired a lot, just like Yotsuba has inspired a lot. But yeah, this on the next panel, you see Osaka, a character from Azumanga. Kind of the perfect character to bring into Yotsuba. Yeah.
I didn't even realize that that's what was happening here. I was like, I saw people freaking out on our manga about like, oh my gosh, the character's here. And I was like, I guess I'll read the chapter if Gavin's bringing it. And I was like, I didn't see any character that was really notable. But this character is from Azumanga Daioh, you're saying.
Yeah, exactly. She's kind of the perfect fit for Yotsuba too, because she is the weirdo in a show full of weirdos.
Ah, okay.
By just being kind of mentally absent, I'd say. At times. I love her. I think she might be everyone's favorite character from Azumanga. And Yotsuba, still not sure on teachers, doesn't know if she's an enemy or a friend.
Is she like aged up? Like, was she a teacher in Azumanga?
No, she was a student in Azumanga, so she's aged up.
Okay, so it's like time has passed. Okay, cool.
I think she's like in her mid-20s in this.
Yeah, that's what it seems like to me. She has an accent.
Yeah. She has, I skipped the page, but she has a Kansai accent because she's from Osaka. Mm. That's why they call her Osaka.
Oh, that's like not her name?
Yeah, it's not her name. Oh, okay. I forgot her actual name.
Okay.
Everyone just calls her Osaka. So, but yeah, this is kind of her disposition in the show too. She's like, I can't do the back hip circle either. It's like, wow, you too, Mim? It's like, not yet, but I don't think I'll ever be able to do it actually.
You gave up fast.
Yeah. She's like, you want to learn how to do some gymnastic stuff? And Yotsuba agrees. And the move she shows Yotsuba is the escape the earth move. This is the teacher still, not another kid.
Yeah.
And it's like resonating with Yotsuba. And then she teaches her the laundry move. And yeah. I just love this panel. They're just both, they look like someone fucking murked them.
Yeah, I like that. Like in this panel, there's like some ruffles and like lines and stuff, and there's just like a less detailed version of both. There's just like no lines; it's just solid, flat.
Full laundry. You know, the wrinkles ironed out, and and then Yotsuba is infinitely curious because she's super ready for school, but also she is just an infinitely curious kid. And she's like, what's this tree's name? And nobody seems to know what the tree is called. And Osaka also doesn't know what the tree is called.
Like, can't crush her hopes.
Yeah. So she spends a while trying to figure it out. And then she notices like a sign. She's like, luckily my eyesight's good. But she can't read the kanji. Presumably because... I think this is more of a Japanese joke on why she can't read the kanji. Presumably it's different between the not districts, but whatever they're called. The two sect like areas. Osaka.
I mean, kanji is also just like, if you don't know a kanji, you don't like, you can sometimes parse it out, but sometimes you have no idea how to say it or what it is. Like this is tree.
Yeah.
She says this is like tree next to nothing, like are the two like sub kanjis or whatever you call them, and she's like, what is that? I don't know. Like, if you don't know what that is, you don't know how to say it. Like, so
yeah, that's tough. And I love this random kid just shows up and it's like, yeah, that's a Japanese beech tree, even I know that.
It's like a Buddha.
And I like how he's just like this random kid who just yells it out.
Yep.
And then he in the next panel they are just kind of stunned that he knew that, and he screamed at them, and he just like wide-eyed walks away. I get why Yotsuba's not an anime. It's like, I think a lot of this stuff works so good on paper.
That panel you have for sure.
Yeah. And he's like, yeah, that's right. It's a Japanese beech tree, which I already knew, of course.
Which I knew, of course.
And Yotsuba, having impassable kid logic, is like, yeah, once I'm a professor, I'll turn daddy into a rhinoceros beetle. And I don't think anyone can follow the logic there. Maybe not even her.
Yeah.
But I think this is like, every chapter of Yotsuba is Yotsuba just being a rambunctious kid, but like a super well-meaning rambunctious kid. But she also gets into trouble and like breaks stuff and lies and does all the little kid stuff, you know?
Yeah, for sure.
It's genuinely like my favorite slice of life. And I think it's like the highest rated slice of life on Mal, deservedly.
I think it's in the top. Is it in the top 10 of Mal manga? It's up there.
I have to imagine it's in the top like 30 or something. I don't know.
Yeah, it is 8.9. It's 19th. So yeah.
19th. Top 20. Yeah.
So yeah, incredibly popular, and incredibly highly ranked, but yeah.
But this is the slice of life Avengers Assemble moment.
It is hype when because other authors, I'm trying to remember some other authors that have done this, where like a character from one series like appears in another and it's like a hype moment and like shows that universes are shared. I can't think of any right now off the top of my head, but
yeah, I know what you mean. And you know, I appreciate it's like this slice of life where neither character does anything big at all, yeah, or dramatic. They literally just do a few goofy things together. Because usually in these like mix-ups, you have to let every character shine in some capacity. But I appreciate that Yotsuba is like neither character shined. They just did some gymnastics and this moved on with their life.
He's the shining
kid. That kid shined. Yeah, you're right. That kid was the winner.
The smartest person in the whole chapter.
yeah. And he got his credit stolen by by villain Osaka.
Yep.
So messed up.
Seems very cute. I need to read this too at some point. It's easy.
Yeah, it's an awesome read. You would actually love it.
I'm sure I would. I think I read like a chapter or two and was like, not in the mood for it. But
yeah,
when I'm in the mood for it, I'll have to get back to it sometime.
Totally.
Cool. Anything else on Azumanga.io X Yotsubato Yotsuba crossover?
Yeah, X Nike, X Hot Topic. No.
do you think that the author will put all of the Azumanga characters into this series?
No way.
You don't think so? Just kind of a nice little
just a fun little nod. I don't even know if we'll see Osaka again. But it doesn't matter one way or another. I don't think we see any other Azumanga characters though.
Cool.
Either way, great chapter, but Yotsuba's always great. Yeah. The author releases like 4 chapters a year, just say, whenever he feels like
we
it.
May have talked about the last time they dropped a chapter, which was like we 2 or 3 months ago. I think we did. Yeah,
exactly.
Cool. Last thing on the list here, I want to talk about Kagurumachi. This series continues to impress me, even though sometimes I'll read it and be like, wow, this has a lot of issues. And then I'll read it again. I'll be like, nah, this is great. Like, this is good. A kind of quick catch up on where we are in the plot. So there's the 7 swordsmen who like won a war with the magic blades that were made by the main character's dad, right? Dad gets executed. That's chapter 1. They met up with one of the blade users, who's this blind guy. And they kind of protected him for a bit, the main cast. And then he turned on them and was like, nope, we're all war criminals and all of the blade users need to die and I'm going to kill everybody. So he kind of goes like, he's like, I'm going to kill everybody and I'm going to kill myself and no one's going to use these swords. So he's kind of seeking out, he kind of teamed up with the bad guys to find all of the other blade users and kill them and track all this stuff down. And part of what was involved with that, which kind of gets us to where we are in this chapter, is that he has a daughter, Iori here, and she had her memory wiped and the bad guys were going to go get his daughter and take her captive to lure him out. And so the good guys had to go and protect her. So she's kind of older. This is a flashback. I feel like every time I bring Kagurumachi, it's for like a good flashback, but it has good flashbacks. I don't know.
Yeah.
So this is kind of a flashback explaining what Iori has been through. Cause she's like in the process of regaining her memories, right? She had her memory wiped magically. And then, she kind of did a thing in the last chapter or two. We see her basically, we think that she's just like a regular person, doesn't have memories, blah, blah, blah. And then some shit goes down and she grabs a sword and ends up being like, and like closes her eyes and does like some master swordsman shit, which is cool because her dad is a blind guy. So we don't know a whole lot about it, but this chapter explains a little bit more, but she basically has like a blind sword style fighting from her dad, right? She like closes her eyes and can fight with a katana, which is cool.
Gotcha.
So yeah. So flashback.
Is she on the good guy team?
She's on the good guy team. Yeah, I think for sure. Okay. I think, and I really hope that she's going to be like I mentioned at the top of the episode, like a secondary protagonist, a deuteragonist, or like someone who's main cast and goes around with the MC and all that, because I like her. And I think one of the big knocks against Kagurabachi that I would put is that, the female characters kind of come and go. They aren't completely absent, but there's no like very few core female cast members. They'll show up and be cool, but they're a side character and they go away. So I really hope we can get someone here that like sticks around and is like in the series most all the time. I think that would be really good. And she's a really good candidate, I think. So,
gotcha.
Yeah.
Next crew member.
Yeah. So a good little flashback here. Basically Aori's mom in the hospital, long time no see. I think her parents are divorced here technically. And she's basically like, hey, how can you expect her to remember you? Like, Aori, this is your father. Yeah. Samura is the name of the guy who turned tide and wants to kill everybody. And sick mom, you know where this is going. Where is it going, Gautam?
Yeah, the mom dies. He has to take care of the daughter alone. But they don't get along because he's an absentee father due to his work.
Oh, yep.
And
keep going. You're right on every note so far.
Yeah, so he's struggling to be a good dad and doing a terrible job balancing it. The daughter resents him for not being there, right? So far,
okay, a little
so
a little different there, but you almost hit everything that happens. But yeah, so Samura is kind of very notable for how much guilt he feels for sort of like taking up one of these cursed swords, and like basically everyone who took up a cursed sword killed like 10,000 people or something, right? Like it committed
Jesus
murder
Christ.
With
I mean, they, so like, many people.
It has not fully explained what happened in the past, but it seems like they essentially gave these guys swords and then sent them on like a military invasion of some place, and they wiped out like the entire rest of the military. Like they killed every single military person and like innocents on that island, something like that. So
yeah, that's a fucking massacre.
Yeah. So his guilt, he's like, I can't hold my daughter with my hands. Like we divorced. He basically left because he was too guilty. Didn't want to be associated with them because it was dangerous. He's like, you said that thousands of times already during the divorce. Like who's going to take care of her then? She's like, she's your daughter. He's like, and the wife is the mature one. Obviously everyone on their deathbed is very mature. She's like, let it go, look forward, move on, take care of your daughter.
And of course he doesn't listen to her until like it's too late, right? He doesn't do a good job at this.
Yeah,
presumably
he does. And this is where it diverges maybe a little bit from the regular. He does try, which I think is what makes him, he's a really cool character. I really like him in this series.
Okay,
and this is, Iori's kind of mad at her dad for being absent, and you know, her mom's telling him like he's a hero, you know, he, you know, respect him. And it's like, but she's also like, he's the worst, he's totally hung up on the past, neglects us, don't ever fall for a guy like that. Iori's is a mom kind of talking. You're not amazing at all, you abandoned mom. He like calls him a loser, and all this stuff. But they get closer. If it's like, hey, Lena, you cook a lot, like, you know, let's cook for your mom, whoever makes the better dish, you know, wins or whatever. And she's here. He's like, wait, you've got your eyes closed. It's like, not when you're using a blade. It's like, hey, you're holding it backwards, which this is funny because this is exactly what she does when she like awakens and pulls a blade out, is she like holds it backwards with her eyes closed and like does cool shit with it.
Is she doing this like instinctually or because she secretly loves her dad?
She is doing it, I think, because she's gotten a little, she's, I think, watching her dad and copying him because he's blind.
Okay.
So she's like, oh, right. I'll just close my eyes and do like that. But she does end up getting, it shows a little bit here, but she ends up kind of training at the dojo with him. This is kind of a contest. They get to skip through, you know, mom, you know, obviously it made her, it's so delicious. She feels great. This is like the panel before she dies. Like quite literally is like, you made me feel great. It was awesome. But yeah, she's like, I'm going to get even better at cooking. When you're out of the hospital, just wait. I'll have to hurry up and get well. Da, 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 boom. She's dead. And yeah, it's, yeah, there's a nice, this is why, like, again, there's kind of like one moment in all these flashback chapters where I'm like, this is much better than it should be like than a normal kind of flashback like this is. And for me, it's this one page here on the right, which is like after they after Iori and Samura give the mom the food, like Samura stays back and the mom's literally like, I'm not going to last much longer. I was like, hey, you did great hanging in there a whole year. I was like, since when did you know how to cook? Like, he's like, the guys, he's like, I got the guys at the dojo to coach me on the side. He's like, really? Like, you changed so much. He's like, what do you think of Iori? He's like, she's cute. He's like, even though you're blind, it's like, listen, he's like, I don't have to see. She like, she laughs like you. He's like, you abandoned mom when she's training with the sword. He's like, I'm sorry for everything. He's like, hey, Iori, like, why don't we call it a truce? You don't have to compete against each other. The mom saying like, I wish I could see her grow up. And she's looking at this, you know, look forward, not back. Like, I'm going to get even better at cooking. And then it's just, you know, like impactful panels of sobbing and stuff. Yeah. And then so he's raising her. He kind of puts her to bed. And then we get a this is a bad guy who has been in the current arc. He shows up and is basically like, I don't know who you are, but do me a favor. Like, don't make me draw my blade. And he's like, for the future, huh? He's like, don't worry. We're just here to talk about the sins you lot committed and the disaster that will befall this country as a result a few years from now. So, yeah. So there's some kind of future plot relevance of these Swordmaster users that this bad guy clown makeup dude is coming to tell him about. But I don't know. It's just like a really poignant kind of little story where it's like, oh yeah, I've seen these beats before. And it's like, but wait, but then the divorced dad and mom talk about it. And there's like, he like throws it back in her face kind of where he's like, you know, I wish I could see her grow up. And he's like, look forward, not back. And yeah, I don't know. It's just a lot of, lot of interesting good stuff in here.
Where, it's like conventional, but well done. Right. I guess.
Yeah, for sure. And I do really, it's cool.
Who cut out both of his eyes?
I don't know. I don't know. We've been told he might've done it himself or he might've always been blind and it just happened. I don't know. And it's a character design thing. I'm not sure we know who actually did that, but yeah. So, I mean, I think the series continues to be like really like not the greatest thing I've ever read, but it's like a step above pretty good. Like, it's, you know, it ranges from being like, wow, that was awesome, to like, it's pretty good. So I'm pretty happy to be following this one most weeks. So
yeah, it seems like it's like it has continued its stride.
Yeah, and I do think that it kind of keeps getting better and better. Like, I think it is better. This arc has been like every arc you go through, it's like, wow, this is the best arc so far. So yeah, I'm loving it.
Awesome.
Ba-da-ba-ba-ba. Cool. That is it for manga. Let's go through a little bit of news we've got here. First up on the news, Anime Japan has the 2025 Manga We Want to See Animated list. These are the winners in order. Number one, Nue's Exorcist. Bleh. Some others I don't necessarily recognize. Phantom Busters is a big one that's on Jump SQ, I want to say. Jump Square. Kindergarten Wars is number five. Kindergarten Wars is going to get animation at some point. That is a great series.
For sure.
Goku Rakugai at number seven. That's also a big one. Junkin Blank. And then Love Bullet at number 10 is interesting. I don't know. Do you?
Why?
Do you,
that's so familiar sounding.
Love there was Bullet. A Hold big... On. What happened with Love Bullet is there was a big push. I think the author maybe started it, that they were like, hey, volume 2 is coming out, and if it doesn't sell enough, it's canceled, and it has a lot of sort of, I don't know exactly if it's, I think it has a lot of like gay, lesbian, romance type stuff in it, and that was sort of picked up by that group and really campaigned for it, and it like ended up like selling out a bunch of volumes and kind of got really popular and famous for like, oh, like nobody was buying this, and the author kind of made a plea, and then everyone went out and bought it. So it's cool also that it's showing up on this list too of like, we want an anime for this. So
you know, I like that kind of an earnest statement beats out huge marketing budgets.
It's, yeah, a lot of times. Single tweet.
That's like a very sweet story.
Yeah. So very cool there. Definitely there's some stuff coming up this year that was on the list last year. I remember like Gachi Yakuta. I think Galaxius is one I would put on this list for me. But yeah, this good to see. Good to see. And if you've read any of these other ones, like Liar, Gokokun, Firefly Wedding, Ugly Duckling of the Entertainment Industry, Akuyakurejo no Naka no Hito. If you've read any of these, tell us about them. I haven't heard anything about these at all. So, or Junket Blank. I've not heard that one either.
Tell us about Nue's Exorcist. Is it good?
I fought with a guy on Twitter. They posted something about like, I had some good response where I was like, yeah, I wish they would have canceled Nue's Exorcist, like, and make room for better stuff. And he was like, wow, that's so, you're so selfish for your view. And I was like, you're selfish if you wanted to keep being in the magazine and not give other people a chance to be better than it. Because I don't know, maybe I'll catch up on it someday and maybe it's better than I think, but it sure doesn't seem like it.
You know what, Bruce, I hate to say, but it's in there for a reason. People like it, even though those people aren't us.
it is the harem light novel isekai crowd. Like, this is for them. Like, this is, that's what this is. This is a harem or a pseudo harem, and it's action and then
except not the manga pseudo harem. That's awesome.
Yes, manga pseudo harem. This is a pseudo harem. I don't know exactly because I haven't read it. Read much of it past. I think I read 3 or 4 chapters, but yeah, it's a self insert blank MC who has no character at all and blah blah blah. So, and girls with big boobs. I've seen the covers. So yeah,
I just think it's really funny acting like we're above something, considering we read silly nerdy shit all the time.
Yeah,
but I don't know. I do in my heart of hearts feel like I'm above it.
It is all. I will say this. It is all art. I will not discount it as art. All art is art. It is all valid as this artistic is like, expression. This is still a compliment. Exists bad art.
It's a compliment you get something when someone has a gun to your head, Bruce. It's like, say something good about Noise Exorcist right now. It's art. And all art's valid.
It is art. All art is valid. Yeah, that's all I have to say about it. All art is valid doesn't mean all art is good. Your 6-year-old child drawing an elephant, that is not good art. That is also valid, and you're allowed to appreciate that for what it is. Noise Exorcist is probably better than that, but who knows?
Dude, I draw a really good elephant. I'm not even kidding. It might be better. Yeah.
Cool. Some other stuff we got in news. Let me go over here. Gachi Akuta anime announcement trailer happening tonight, our time. I think it's happening in a couple of hours because it's like 10 a.m. Japanese time on the 14th, which I think is like midnight our time, maybe. I think that's hopefully going to be a trailer. Could just be voiceover announcements or something like, or voice actor announcements or something, but excited to see what happens there. If you are not familiar, on this channel, we do a Gachi Akuta read through for every single volume. You should go check that out. I think those are very, very good. Really proud of the work we do there.
Yeah, those are like, I feel like some of the most fun recordings we do too.
Yeah, and I think those are the best thumbnails that I make are those. So,
oh, for sure.
Cool. All You Need Is Kill, which is a manga series we both read years ago, is getting a new anime series. If you are not familiar with this, All You Need Is Kill is the manga that, is it called Day After? No. The Day After Tomorrow? What's the Tom Cruise movie? I'm forgetting it now.
It's so close. Something like that.
It's Edge of Tomorrow. Edge of Tomorrow.
Edge of Tomorrow.
Something like that. Yeah, Edge of Tomorrow. The movie Edge of Tomorrow, where it's the Live, Die, Repeat was what it was originally called. I remember reading this manga, like kind of when we both started like talking about manga and stuff. So maybe like 6 years ago at this point, 5 or 6 years ago. I remember reading it being like, wow, this is amazing. And then you get to, I think, the last like 3 or 4 chapters and it's just garbage, like just to the worst, like easily the worst resolution of a good series I've ever read. So I'm curious to see
That is so not true. Because we read Oshinoko.
Oh, that's true. It's up there in the same tier. I would put it in the same tier as like, this was amazing and the ending ruined it all.
It was a letdown, but I only remember the feeling of being let down, not even the ending really. Yeah, that much
kind of the same. Yeah, I don't remember all the details about it, but I remember really, really liking it and then getting to the end and being like, what the hell.
It's been a decade. Right. Yeah, yeah. But it's, the thing is, I think Oshinoko is so bad that I don't think anything has let me down more than that.
Well, Oshinoko was also 200 chapters, right? Where it's like really connected with it for 210 chapters and the last 5 sucked. Whereas I think All You Need Is Kill is like, it's like 20 or 19 or something. It's pretty short.
Yeah. So I wonder if they changed the ending. I haven't seen Edge of Tomorrow.
It's great.
Change the ending for that?
The movie is not like the manga. They kind of take the conceit of the manga, and the first half, I would say, is kind of mostly beat for beat, and then the last half is a lot different, I would say. So
that makes sense. I think that works. That's a better idea for a Hollywood movie too, because the main character is kind of just this edgy, depressing guy, which is
Tom Cruise is
more interesting to read. Yeah, exactly. And it's like, it's not fun to follow those types of characters on screen, like in a movie theater.
This anime trailer for this appears to be following the sort of female lead character who gets the power first, I think is how that works in the manga. She gets the power first and then the guy gets it. You follow the guy and then they meet up and some stuff happens. So, yeah, I'm curious though. Cause like I said, I do think that that was a series. That's a pretty well-known manga series. Very popular. I mean, it got adapted into a Tom Cruise movie, so it can't get much bigger than that.
Yeah, true. Well, debatable, but true.
Yeah. Let's see what else we got. So Yoshihiko Hayashi, this is the author of Mama Yu Yu. They're going to be publishing a new one-shot on Shonen Jump Plus coming up pretty soon. I am excited to check that out. I think they had some of the best paneling I've seen in Shonen Jump probably ever. Don't really...
Yeah. No, it was so insanely good. Yeah. It's one of those... Mama Yu Yu is one of those disappointing manga that is just, like, oozing potential.
For sure.
You know what I mean?
It's like, having a slightly better kind of setting or main character or something in that would have been awesome. Because, yeah, the paneling and stuff in that was like, really exceptionally good. Like, I put it, you know, right... Maybe not right below, but below stuff like Witch Hat Atelier, which is, like, the best paneled... And, like, Berserk, which are, like, the two best paneled manga of, like, all time, in my opinion. So
I completely agree. I think it's like Witch Hat levels of creative paneling.
It's sort of getting there. It's striving to be Witch Hat levels of creative paneling, which like almost no other series is. So it's a very small pool of people who are paneling like that. So
yeah, weaving your themes into the panels they just did a great job with that.
Yeah, super good. So excited to check that out. We also got an anime trailer for the Darwin Incident. I was going to say we should talk. Maybe we should catch up to this, bring it to the pod at some point. Darwin, this was the very first. I don't remember if it was the very first published episode that we had of the podcast or the very first recorded episode.
I think it was unpublished.
I think it's the unpublished one. Yeah. Or I hit it because it was the one we did live streamed or something. But yeah, almost 3 years ago now. Yeah, very first, I think, 2.5 years ago, I guess, about now. Very first unpublished episode we talked about this series as it was sort of winning awards, and it only had 20 or 30 chapters. So I'd really like to go back and check it out, because I was surprised at how good it was, considering trying to explain it to someone on paper sounds insane. Like, it's a monkey boy whose parents are vegan terrorists, and it works, and it's great, so...
And whose birth parents are a chimpanzee and a human.
Yeah, and it happened exactly the way you think, probably.
Yeah.
yes, it is. It goes some interesting places. I'm really curious to catch up with this.
Yeah, and we say this every time. By all means, on paper, it shouldn't work. It doesn't sound good, but it reads real good. It's interesting.
Really, yeah, it's super interesting. Good, yeah. And so I really hope that the anime adaptation there captures that.
Yeah, me too.
Speaking of hoping that they capture the right feeling, last thing on the news list here, Claymore is announced to be getting a live action series. I think this is from Netflix or from someone like that. So I think this is a good choice to do a live action version of it. Claymore, if you aren't familiar, sort of late 90s, early 2000s. Kind of, I don't want to say it's a Berserk ripoff. It is girls Berserk, if you want to call it anything. It's not nearly as good, but it is similar.
It is kind of a Berserk ripoff, but that's okay. It's still good. But with that said, I actually don't know if this is going to be an easy anime adaptation, because I guess at the beginning, it starts out small scale, but they're fighting like gigantic demons by the midpoint of it.
Well, and
turning into gigantic demons and stuff.
Yeah, and I remember liking the anime back when it came out, like a lot more at the start than at the end, but I think it did an anime original ending or something that, you know, those almost never work out. My hope with this is that because you can't just do sci-fi all the time, that it focuses a little bit more on the characters, because the character stuff I remember being pretty interesting when it was there, of like, some of these girls are, you know, like being empowered by the demon, some of them hate it, you know, their struggles with... Who do they help? How do they kill? Violence and all this stuff. There's the same kind of struggles that happen in Berserk, to be honest, happen here, just kind of from a female point of view. I think there's a lot of interesting character stuff that could be done here. Visually, you know, they look awesome. They turn into demon girls. Like it's cool. I don't know. It's just one of those dark.
Claymore's a good series. I feel like most Japanese live action movies kind of suck, and they think
Let me double check this. I don't think that this got this is going to be a Japanese adaptation. I think this is going to be a Western.
That makes me nervous as well.
Yeah,
because I don't think Western anime adaptations are good either.
So CBS Studios, Propgate teamed up with Hawaii Five-0 action producer Masioka to develop a live-action TV adaptation in collaboration with Shueisha. So yeah, it is a Western adaptation of it. I don't know. I'm hoping...
Put a budget behind it. We'll see.
Yeah, I mean, One Piece showed us it can be done with what we considered the most unadaptable thing ever.
So. That is true. That is true. And Cowboy Bebop showed how it can't be done with the most with
the
adaptable
easiest
thing.
Adapt- the yeah. most adaptable, the simplest, easy, most straightforward adapting thing failed. So
yeah, so it's like a mixed bag. We don't know how it'll go.
Yeah, it's still a crapshoot. We'll see. Excited for more One Piece live action. That should be end of this year, I think.
Yeah, that me as well. I'm looking forward to it. We kind of get the middle stuff, which will still be interesting, but it's not the pop-off point for One Piece, if you know what I mean.
It's Alabasta is, which I think will be season three.
Yeah,
is what
that's season three. Yeah.
So yeah, that's I mean, Alabasta was really when I was like, okay, this is actually one of the greatest things I've ever read, because I did like it before then. But yeah, Alabasta is really, I think it's like Nami's backstory and then Alabasta for me were the like put the key in, lock it, I'm locked in now.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. And the middle stuff is like good. It fills in the gaps and it's interesting, but it's like when you know that like a banger arc is right around the corner, it's like hard to speak super duper favorably of like the Little Garden stuff and the Wapple stuff, even though I had fun with it. When it's like right next to the freaking Mona Lisa on the wall.
Yeah, pre-time skip is rough because everything before Water 7, Nina's Lobby is kind of a crapshoot, in my opinion. Like, so some of it's really good, and then some of it's like just okay. Like, you like, what's the jungle arc called?
That's legit one of my favorite arcs.
Skypiea. It's like my least favorite. Like, I don't remember anything about it except for the final battle. Like, I literally legit remember nothing about it. I didn't like it at all.
I think it might be my favorite. I don't know. I'll have to think about that.
Maybe I like I'll go back and reread it, see it again.
We should do our One Piece reread one of these times.
That is committing to an incredible amount of...
Oh, not on this channel. Just
Okay. I was like, even if we do like 10 volumes per thing, it's like, that's still a year of reading or more.
Dude, we'd be dead by the time we fucking finish that reread, or in retirement or something.
Yeah, there's how many volumes of One Piece are there? There's like 160, 170 something. So yeah, it's like 3 years. If you did one a week, it's like 3 years of reading. Plus more coming out, so it's like 3.5 years probably. But
yeah, this is just impossible. It's impossible to do on recorded medium. Well, it's possible, but we need to work. We need to eat, guys.
Yeah, for sure. All right, what else are we doing this week? I don't think there's anything else in manga. I have been watching Severance. I don't know if you've have you seen this, Scottum?
I'm surprised we haven't talked about it. Yeah, I think it's like the best show on TV right now.
Yeah, I rewatched season one, which I had seen 2 or 3 years ago when it aired, and I'm 4 episodes into season two, so I'm not fully caught up, but there's a new episode tomorrow or tonight, I don't remember.
We'll not talk spoilers on it, because it's so popping right now.
But it is, I agree, one of the best things on TV.
It's so right good,
now,
right?
For sure. It's so good. Yeah, in rewatching season one, I was like, yeah, okay, I remember like kind of where it ended, but like, man, there's so much, it's just weird. It has just enough of that, like, do you know who Noah Hawley is? He's the guy who does, like, Fargo. He's in charge of the Fargo seasons. He has, like, that weird, you know, where stuff sometimes just gets, like, weird for, like, seemingly no reason with Noah Hawley, right? Like, sometimes it's just, like, it's just a psychedelic scene and for no explanation.
Like the pancake party here. Yeah, there's a lot of weird.
Yeah, but there's, like, not so much of it. Like, Noah Hawley sometimes can be too much of it. Like, I watched his... what was his X-Men adaptation thing? I have to remember what it's called. Did you ever watch that?
Depends.
What is it called?
Is it a movie?
No, he did a... Hold on. Television.
Legion. Oh, Legion?
Legion.
I have not seen it. I hear it's good, but I haven't seen it.
I watched the first season and thought it was interesting, and the season two just got way too weird for me. I'm talking like... 10-minute shots of like blackness and stars and voiceover, like just so weird.
Is this the Aubrey Plaza show?
Yeah, Aubrey Plaza Legion? Was in it. Yes.
Yeah. Okay, got it. Yeah, that was on the list.
Yeah, it's interesting. Like I said, I thought the first season was really good, and then I thought it just went way off the rails in season two. And I think it's 3 seasons total. But to me, Severance, to get back to Severance, has just enough of that like Noah Hawley weirdness injected into it occasionally, but then still stays really grounded at times. It's great. The acting is all amazing. You know, there's a minor twist in episode four that I called from episode one that was very easy to see, but still cool.
Yeah, exactly. I know another one.
Yeah.
And I, you know, it's like, I think the conceit of like the kind of overarching just plot of the show, like the idea of Severance, is inherently compelling. It's like already they have good shit on their hands. They just need to write a good show. And they did. It's amazing. Everyone should watch that.
Yeah, anything where the bad guy, the enemy is your workplace, I'm down for that. Fuck work. I want to.
Yeah, I agree.
I work to live. I do not live to work. And that's kind of, again, the conceit of Severance. So yeah, this show is great. Adam Scott, it rules. He's an excellent actor. I'm glad he's doing this. All the side characters are great. It's awesome. Got to tell me what you've been doing. This is from the first one.
Fuck me. I've been playing Kingdom Come Deliverance 2. I have not played the first game, so I just like brushed up a little bit on it. I don't know. I don't even know why I bought this, because just a medieval setting played straight historical fantasy sounds like so boring.
Well, it's not even fantasy. It's like historical fiction, right? Like it's sorry. Like real life.
Exactly. Yeah. You're right. It's historical fiction. So it's just knights and shit. There's no goblins or nothing. But despite the lack of goblins, I am having a blast. It's just working. I didn't expect the characters to be so well fleshed out and fun. It's a genuinely funny game. Hans Capone over here is like your lord, quote unquote, but also your best bud. And the main character and him have like great best friend energy. That they are arguing about 55% of the time. Like they're at, like just going back and forth in on each other.
That is suspiciously hard to write in video games specifically. Like I can count the number of times where I've been like, oh, those people are acting like real friends in a video game on like one hand. Like lots of the stuff in Final Fantasy VII Rebirth I thought was great. Like there's actual real girl friendship in that, which is just like, I don't think I've ever seen that in a video game before. So it's good to hear that like the writing is good enough that you can show real friendship. I think that's a real challenge.
Yeah, and you know, it's like the bickering feels like it's like a hard line to make it so that characters don't seem antagonistic to each other. They're more or less just bickering because they like each other.
Yeah, for sure.
It goes really well here. And I think ultimately, like every piece of the puzzle here, this is like an immersive sim. So you like make the potions, you go the blacksmith, you hammer out a sword. All of that feels satisfying. All of that is fun. The combat is weird, and also it's both like fun, but you can break it too easily. I'm having a good time with it.
Cool.
There's this thing called a Master Strike. You can just do it over and over again and destroy everything in the game.
Nice. It's the there was a move in Sekiro on Lady Butterfly that you could spam and it would stunlock her and win. And that's the only way I beat battle. It's like the EI slash. The
double
overhead.
Swing, right?
It was just like overhead, hit once. Like, and I just did that. I was like, I'm having such a hard time with this boss, and I did that to win it. So Master Strike.
Yeah. That move you use, that's like the best move in Sekiro because it's like it didn't cost emblems and you can just, a lot of, I forgot what it's called.
Point
Ichimonji. Ichimonji double. That's
double Ichimo. Yeah, that's what it was, I think.
Yeah.
Cool. Anything else on Kingdom Come Deliverance Dose 2?
I guess even if it's not your genre, you might end up really liking the game, depending on what you, like about games.
Is it on Xbox Game Pass?
It's not.
Okay. I was wondering, because it's like, if this is a Game Pass game, an easy recommendation.
Yeah, easy rec, right? It's not on Game Pass yet, though.
Okay, cool. Yeah, but I've been hearing a lot of people liking this, a lot of streamers and stuff playing it, seem to enjoy it, so.
Yeah.
Cool. All right, let's get out of here. Thanks again, everybody, for listening or watching. Don't forget to leave us feedback, comments, upvote, thumbs up. Let us know what you think about the series, what you're doing. Have you seen Severance? No spoilers, please. Check out Twitter and Patreon, linked in the description, and thank you for being with us yet again this week.
See you later.
And don't forget to read more manga.